Yeah, we're skipping church too. This is Sports Sunday with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to the show, hour number two here. With you until noon today. Then it'll be followed up by maybe baseball tonight pregame. It's still rainy and dreary outside, and it's been rainy and dreary in Kauffman all year, so. They haven't canceled enough games, in my estimation. But we don't have to worry about the Royals too much today, because they didn't play last night, because God had mercy on them. And the NFL draft was this weekend, and that is front and center of everything Kansas City sports right now. And last hour we talked a lot about everybody but Patrick Mahomes, because he was obviously the story yesterday, but I want to go back to Mahomes now. There are a surprising number of detractors of this pick. I've talked to plenty of you. I've tweeted with plenty of you. And I think the thing that I want you to know is that I don't care if you think Patrick Mahomes was the right pick. Not because my opinion is more important than yours. I don't care that I think he was the right pick. Our opinions don't particularly matter. I'm not all that concerned with what you think. You shouldn't be all that concerned with what I think. Because what we should care about is that Andy Reid and John Dorsey openly, obviously, found a guy that they loved at the most important position in sports. And they went and got him. And not only did the Chiefs prefer Mahomes over Deshaun Watson, they preferred him by a lot. And they didn't want to miss out on him. They knew the price tag differences that were going to come with each pick. I'm sure they expected Trubisky to go in the top five. They had to have felt the breath of the Saints and the Giants and a couple other teams whenever they were looking to move up for Mahomes. The Texans reportedly had been interested. Mahomes had at least three or four other serious suitors. The Cardinals were also interested. The Chiefs knew that. And they knew that was going to drive the price up. And John Dorsey and Andy Reid said, let us be the ones to pay it. That's what we should care about. And listen, if it ends up being a bad investment, Reid and Dorsey are going to wear that one. They're going to wear that one for a long time. But every bit of me will argue that it was the right investment. And I'm not saying that it's a good move regardless of if Mahomes is good or not. Because obviously, if it doesn't work out, it was the wrong move. But every bit of me in this moment, when we have to judge it before we see the results, every bit of me now will say, I'm glad they took that risk. I hope they took it on the right guy. I think they did. Leading up to the draft, Mahomes was the guy I wanted. We had a podcast. It was just an hour of the show, but I put up one of the podcasted hours of the show last weekend. The headline was, "The Chiefs should trade the farm for Patrick Mahomes." Farm. I mean, they traded their 27th pick, next year's first-round pick, and a third-round pick this year to move up and get him. And that's not cheap. But the Chiefs knew how this was going to go. They knew they could have waited until Mahomes was off the board and then gotten Deshaun Watson, probably for a lesser price. Deshaun Kizer ended up being a second-round pick. He was getting mocked to the Chiefs at 27 plenty of times. They could have waited and got him at 27. They could have gotten Josh Dobbs in the second round. Could have gotten Chad Kelly in the seventh. Brad Kaya as late as you wanted him. There ended up being plenty of quarterback options, and the Chiefs said, and I would bet you they would do this again, if you let us start this draft over, trading what they traded to go get Patrick Mahomes at number 10, worth every penny. And I love that they didn't see all these quarterbacks as the same as so many people did. They didn't say, you know what, we're going to see who's there at 27, we'll take that guy, and then we'll help Andy Reid work with him. Because there was a caller yesterday that said, you know, if Andy Reid's so good with quarterbacks, why can't you wait and give him Kizer at 27? Give him Josh Dobbs in the second or third round. Give him Chad Kelly, whatever. Give him Tyler Bray. And the analogy that I had laid out there is you could ask Gordon Ramsay to cook you a delicious meal. And if you put him in a McDonald's kitchen and say, have your way with it. Give me your most delicious thing that you can give me with these McDonald's ingredients. He's probably going to give you a McDonald's burger and some fries. Maybe they'll have truffle on them because he had a truffle in his pocket. But there's only so much you can do with bad ingredients. And in this case, this was Andy Reid and John Dorsey shopping for the groceries together so Andy Reid can cook them. And they paid a premium for this ingredient. But don't you think that Reid and Dorsey knew that was coming? Don't you think they voluntarily paid the premium because they thought that Patrick Mahomes was that much better than waiting for Deshaun Kizer at the end of the first round or Josh Dobbs later on or Brad Kye later on or Chad Kelly latest on? You can't extend that much understanding to think, you know what? I was trying to project what Andy Reid would want. Andy Reid told us what he wanted. He wanted Patrick Mahomes. And even at the time of the pick, people were saying, Mahomes, Watson, Mahomes, Watson, Mahomes, Watson. And then after the first round, Andy Reid was talking about why they ended up going with Patrick Mahomes over Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, we just we think they're both really good football players. We just thought with what we do that Mahomes would fit in well. We had all the guys in, all the quarterbacks came in, had an opportunity to spend 6 hours with each guy. I mean, it was a great experience to have a chance to meet all the guys. Both those young men are tremendous young men. We thought with what we do, Mahomes would fit in the best.
That's Andy Reid talking about what's going to work in Andy Reid's system. And I think this indicates a couple of things. First of all, that's Andy Reid trying to not say much of anything, and he mostly succeeded. But first of all, he pointed out that they spent 6 hours with all these quarterbacks. And that is expensive time. You're Andy Reid and John Dorsey leading up to the draft. Your time is expensive. And you're spending two-thirds of a workday with each of these quarterbacks. And I'm sure that Andy Reid was happy to put all of those guys through their paces and say, here's my offense, here's this idea, here's the situation. What do you think? Who are you? What are you made of? And they came away thinking that Patrick Mahomes was far and away the best value, even when that value is 2 firsts and a 3rd. Keep that in mind with this next Andy Reid clip here talking about what Patrick Mahomes does well. Keep that in mind because in a six-hour meeting with Andy Reid and John Dorsey, I don't think you're going to be asked to just stand in their backyard and throw footballs as hard as you can. If you're going to be worth that kind of investment to the Kansas City Chiefs and to be about to be brought into the Andy Reid system, you've got to be able to hang. And it's a mentally difficult job. Tyler Bray's got great physical tools, but he can't hang in Andy Reid's offense. Alex Smith doesn't have incredible physical tools, but he's got the head for the Andy Reid offense. Listen to Andy Reid talk about what Patrick Mahomes does well.
Yeah, well, I think the things that he does well, wasn't just one play, but the things that he does well is he, first of all, he's smart. That helps because that room, Alex has taken this thing to another level. So his intelligence is as a plus, and then his ability to move in the pocket. Very seldom do you have a perfect pocket that you're sitting in the National Football League. So that all looks good when you're at the combine and all that, but what's real is you've got to be able to move and still throw with velocity. And we thought he did that well. And he's got tremendous vision and tremendous upside. So I just, I think it's a real nice pick for us.
Usually guys with great physical tools don't have the advantage of having their smartness praised. That's why I kind of expected the Chiefs to end up going in a different direction at quarterback. Because I had no real expectation, no real understanding of Patrick Mahomes being smart or not. But you think of a quarterback in a spread offense, in the air raid offense in this case, you don't think of a guy who's very adept at reading coverages, a guy who's very adept at picking up the verbiage of an offense. An average quarterback should usually only get one of those things, like I mentioned already. Tyler Bray, great physical tools. Alex Smith, as Andy Reid said, is taking the whole thing to the next level. But Patrick Mahomes, according to Andy Reid, has some of both of those things. A great quarterback can do both of those things. I'm not telling you that Patrick Mahomes is definitely Aaron Rodgers. I will hold off on that hot take until at least halfway through training camp, and then I'll consider it again. But he has the capacity for greatness because of that. Because he can hang in Andy Reid's offense. And he has the physical tools to hang with anyone else in the NFL. The other thing that Reid mentioned there is Mahomes' pocket presence. He doesn't have good footwork. But he has a very good pocket presence. His bouncy feet are usually getting him out of a messy pocket. And usually it's moving him in some direction where it doesn't particularly matter because the ball ultimately gets from his hand to his receiver's hands. Usually on a rope. I think that pocket presence, that ability to move around in pressure, is one of the most under-discussed parts of his game at this point. So I'm glad Reid mentioned that as well. But the criticism that is being lumped on Mahomes here, one of the easiest things to doubt about Mahomes is his ability to hang with the verbiage of an Andy Reid offense and to be able to play in a pro-style offense, to do things like going through progressions. Alex Smith is often criticized for, reading the hot route and then checking it down. But Alex Smith has the capacity to go through progressions. He has the capacity to read defenses. He doesn't always have the arm to exploit it, though. But Patrick Mahomes, in his press conference with Andy Reid and John Dorsey by his side, he talked about his ability to hang with the play calls and to read defenses in college. And I think after hearing this sound, you're going to feel better about what Mahomes can bring to the table.
When I talked to you at the Super Bowl, you talked a lot about the verbiage. Mm. You've had long play calls in that offense at Texas Tech. You just never had to spit them out. So I'm wondering, in your free time, did you ever, practice spitting some of that stuff on? Did you ever, practice saying some of those calls if you got to a point where you had to?
It was more when I was younger, where I had to really go in the mirror and talk about that type of stuff. But as I got older, I started learning it and doing the nonverbal stuff, so it was kind of just stuck in my head. So going into a new playbook, I'll probably be in front of a mirror talking to myself a lot.
Patrick has always talked about air raid guys and how they transition to the league, and success they've had. What makes you confident that you're going to be a guy who bucks that trend and, is going to come from that spread system, that shotgun system, have success as an NFL quarterback?
First off, just how much control I had of the offense there. I feel like a lot of air raid quarterbacks haven't had that before. So that's definitely going to help the transition a little bit. And then just with coaching, with the coaches that the Kansas City Chiefs has, Coach Reed and Coach Nagy, and those guys, they'll help me a lot, and they'll really push me to be the best quarterback I can possibly be, and that's going to be the biggest thing that's going to help.
A lot of times those systems, they're one read or it's kind of a set throw. Did you do more progressions, you know, under Cliff Kingsbury?
Yeah.
What kind of stuff did you do for them?
Yeah, it was a ton of progression reads. That was probably 80% of our offense was progression, full field reads. So, like I said, he prepared me well and better than quarterbacks in the past have been prepared, so I feel like that will help out a ton.
He was doing reads 80% of the time. I'll take Patrick Mahomes doing full field reads 80% of the time over Mitchell Trubisky playing in a more pro-ready offense at North Carolina. Are you kidding me? I mean, that's unfathomable to me that you would have his playing style, not his personal playing style. His personal playing style is going to be a blast and also has worked. He has a playing style that, you know, you can pull in a little bit of Matt Stafford, a little bit of Philip Rivers, a little bit of Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre. Not that he's going to be as successful as any of those guys. He probably won't be Matt Stafford, if you're going to be honest with yourself. But his playing style plays that way. And those guys have great tools, and it's worked for them. But he spent so much more time in that offense with Cliff Kingsbury doing things to prepare him for the pros than I think most people would have you believe whenever you hear that he was an air raid offense quarterback. Also, John Gruden was talking about him right after he was picked with Scott Van Pelt. And Gruden was saying that one of the reasons he thought Mahomes was often really, really, really pressing and making some bad decisions in college, excuse me, was because he was always trying to score because he had to always score. Texas Tech never stopped anybody. Ever. So he had to score like 45 points a game, like realistically, for them to end up winning anything. Whenever you're pressing at that level, you're going to make some bad decisions. And again, there's going to be a learning curve for Chiefs fans. We're all going to have to get used to the difference between an Alex Smith playing style of conservatism and take what you can get, scramble when you must. That playing style to the playing style, again, that like resembles a Brett Favre. Because for me, whenever I think of Brett Favre, honestly, I think the first thing I think of, well, the second thing I think of. The first thing I think of that happened on a football field and not on a cell phone is him throwing that cross the field pass in the playoff game. I think it was when he was with the Vikings going up against the Saints. And he was rolling out one way and he flung it the other direction and got picked off and run back. That's the last thing I remember about Brett Favre. That's one of the first plays that I think of. I'm ready for that kind of suffering if it comes with that kind of success. And it's not going to come with Brett Favre levels of success. You can temper your expectations and still be optimistic. But I'm prepared to see that kind of playing style in Kansas City. I also think it means really good things for this Chiefs offense and for the pieces that are already here. For years, we talked about surrounding Alex Smith by as many weapons as possible. You know, to maximize Alex Smith, you've got to surround him with playmakers. You surround Alex Smith with enough playmakers, he can use his playmakers well enough to have a good offense. Andy Reid and a bunch of pass catchers and a decent running game. Chiefs can win some games, and they can win some games, but exclusively in the regular season or in the playoffs against the Texans. The Chiefs can win. They can win regular season games and playoff games against Brandon Whedon. But that's all we have proof of with that. What I actually think now, though, is for all of the concerns people have about Tyreek Hill's number one receiver, and I've beaten this dead horse, I know, that Tyreek Hill has the physical, almost like pound-for-pound comparisons with DeSean Jackson. With Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill can be DeSean Jackson. Alex can't really use him that way. With Alex Smith, Tyreek Hill can be an incredibly explosive slot guy that creates matchup nightmares all over the place. But I don't see the Chiefs using Tyreek Hill as much of a deep threat very consistently with Alex Smith. We saw it a couple times last year, not a ton. With Mahomes under center, or 3 yards behind center, Tyreek Hill's playbook opens up. The whole offense opens up. The running game opens up because all of a sudden the deep threat is real. And it can you can argue this in a bunch of ways. Whatever reason that Alex Smith hasn't thrown a deep ball for these last 3 years, it can be he doesn't want to, his arm's not good enough, or Andy Reid doesn't want him to, doesn't trust him. And at this point, now that the quarterback of the future is here, I don't care anymore. I don't have to care anymore. You don't have to care why Alex Smith hasn't been pushing the ball down the field since he's been here. There are plenty of reasonable options that could explain it. But none of those options really matter. He just isn't doing it. And the Chiefs don't have to fix that anymore. They've got the next guy. Which is super exciting. If you're not excited about Patrick Mahomes, I don't know what to tell you. Other than what I've already told you for like 4.5 hours so far this weekend. All of that stuff should get you excited. Whenever we come back from the break here, I want to play a clip from Seth Kizer, who was on the show yesterday. He talks about some of the main criticisms of Patrick Mahomes and some stuff we've touched on a little bit here already. The thing that is especially interesting is the way that he talks about Mahomes' footwork. I think he is dead on with that. And he also talks about this false flag that gets thrown up about how he can't read defenses or can't translate from a spread offense to an Andy Reid offense, which has some of the same core mechanisms if you're looking at it through a more appropriate lens. But we'll get there on the other side of the break. If you want to call in and either celebrate with us or complain at me, it's 913-310-810. Yesterday, the longest call. Hey, Brett Favre's on my screen. Brett Favre's on NFL Network right now. Brett Favre of Football Life is on Friday at 9. When do you think the Patrick Mahomes of Football Life is going to air? More importantly, do you think Patrick Mahomes is ever going to have a sexting scandal? (913) 310-810 Please don't text us any pictures.
This is Sports Sunday with Joshua Briscoe.
What Steph Curry is doing is entirely different. We've seen LeBron and a lot of other players try to do what he's doing. He's doing it better than anybody else ever has. But so Steph Curry's novelty in his MVP-ness.
On Sports Radio 810.
That was a terrible phrase. That's real bad. Dang it.
WHB.
God dang it.
Yeah.
Why did I say that? Like, I think somewhere inside of myself I knew that I was about to say something wrong. But I don't think I remember. I don't think I knew exactly what I was about to say. I'm never probably gonna fully understand how I let that one happen. Welcome back to Sports Sunday and Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Joshua Briscoe. You probably know that by now, because it's on every liner, and I say it coming back from break every time. Now, that's a habit I'm going to try to break. But, I love self-promotion. And I have some breaking news. I told Charlie over the break. I have some very exciting news. Speaking of self-promotion, over on my Twitter account, which, if this is the first time you've listened to the show, meaning, if you didn't even hear the last segment, it's at JB Briscoe. JBBRISCO, or you can just search Joshua Briscoe. You'll find me.
It's Joshua Briscoe with an E on the end of it.
No
right?
E! That's a good point. I need to point that out to people. There could be some JB Briscoe with an E getting tons of Twitter followers. But the breaking news I found out over the segment. This weekend, I have eclipsed 1,000 Twitter followers. I would just like to thank my fans, my friend, my family, Charlie, the Academy, the Pope, Mick Schaefer for taking yesterday off, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I hope you just lost a follower.
I'm like over 1,000 by like 6 now. Oh, I'm dying. This could be it. This could be the end of my life. I have my chest clenching up. My throat is closing down. Also, there's apparently a hashtag on Twitter right now that it's trending in the United States. Hashtag there's nothing more sexier than. So I just tweeted hashtag there's nothing more sexier than, and then it's the picture of Dorsey, Mahomes, and Reed all standing together holding a Mahomes jersey up.
Which, by the way, I like how Mahomes is like all smiles, like happy. Reed and Dorsey are just like,
yeah, they're mean mugging it.
Like, not
absolutely
don't look
mean
happy at all.
Also, one thing that was really striking when I heard Patrick Mahomes speak for the first time is he sounds kind of like a Muppet. Like, Charlie, just play a minute of... Don't play the very beginning of that one clip we played, because I think it's Therese asking a question. But just find a spot of Mahomes talking. I don't care what it is. And I want to play that. But do you have any of that? Just play it. Just play some Pat Mahomes talking.
Be in front of a mirror talking to myself a lot.
I mean, he sounds kind of like a Muppet or something. I don't know. I mean, you could do, you know, hashtag Pat Mahomes sounds like. But, like, Andrew Luck sounds like he's got 47 marbles in his mouth. So, like, that does not mean anything. At all. I just thought it was surprising. But there's a lot of, like, there's a lot of weird intangibles that get brought up when in, like, a quarterback competition whenever guys are, like, evenly matched. It's like, you know, I just don't think, I can't really hear his voice ringing out in the huddle and having a team follow him. And I'm not, that is literally a 0% concern. I was just, like, surprised when I heard Patrick Mahomes talk. Also, I'm going to tweet, I think, at some point, hashtag there's nothing more sexier than proper grammar. So I am just not at all interested in this hashtag. Now, Charlie, go retweet that tweet that I just did from the 810 Twitter account. I'm going to get to 1,050 today.
No, not a chance.
Do it! Why wouldn't you retweet that? It's clever. It's relevant. It's topical. It's hashtag Twitter relevant. Hashtag it's a trending topic.
You asked me to retweet everything.
That's not true. You take that back. I do not maybe twice a weekend.
I think you tweeted something about your breakfast and you wanted me to retweet it.
That is absolutely true, actually. I wanted the 810 audience to know about the two cuties I had for breakfast this morning. By the way, I mean oranges. That was a potentially incriminating sentence. Whoops. Great. All right. Fantastic. Go retweet me, Charlie. Right now. I'm watching. He's not moving. Charlie hasn't moved an inch. Oh, God. I think this is how my star is built. It's by complaining about my Twitter. Man, there are some people, Cody Tapp, who will tweet a GIF and then retweet themselves to the 810 account all the time. I'm not naming Cody names, Tapp. It's just a part, it's just like a bonus. It's a bonus of working for 810. Is that some people, like Cody Tapp, not him specifically, can tweet out a GIF and then retweet it. It's good personal brand building. That is not a criticism of this unnamed person named, this unnamed at Cody B. Tapp. I think it's very smart. I envy it. I want to be a part of it.
No, you can't have the password.
Dang it! I don't want the 810 password. I do. Yesterday, we had Seth Kaiser of Arrowhead Addict, Arrowhead Pride, excuse me. Seth Kaiser of Arrowhead Pride on the show. He's at Real MN Chiefs Fan. He's the best Chiefs Twitter follow on the planet, second to me. He does amazing film reviews, and we were talking to him last week on this show on Sunday about the draft, which was coming up, and we'd agreed that the Chiefs should trade up for Mahomes and make it happen. And I asked Seth yesterday, this is like a 5-minute clip of the interview from yesterday, and if you want to hear the whole thing, it's on 810WHB.com. And I would encourage you to listen to the whole thing because he breaks down the first 3-round draft picks. He just gets it. But this is just about Mahomes specifically and some of the criticisms that are attached to Mahomes that Seth thinks are overrated as criticisms. You've said that you think if he outplays Alex Smith in training camp, you could see him getting on the field. And you think that you've seen that talent. You think Dorsey and Reed have seen that talent. What's something that's overall being perhaps over-criticized about Mahomes, something that you don't see as being as big of a problem as other people have brought up?
His footwork. I mean, there's a few different things. There's two things that I could say, and I know that's cheating because you said one, but
that's
you got to remember
I'm
an attorney, so I can never give a simple answer.
Yes, give me two.
The first thing is his footwork. People are freaking out about his footwork, and it bothers me because watch the throw, not the footwork.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, footwork is important for most quarterbacks. You know who it's not important for? Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
Andrew Luck. Brett Favre. What do all those guys have in common? They have cannons for arms.
Yes.
If you're a guy who can throw off multiple platforms, if you have enough arm talent, and Mahomes absolutely does, your footwork becomes a lot less important. Now, does that mean he doesn't need to work on it? Absolutely not, because it'll help his consistency if he gets that improved. But the simple fact of the matter is, I posted a GIF of him chucking a 30-yard pass, just into a basket, perfectly on the run, through the receiver open, perfect throw. And someone commented to me, oh, the footwork was terrible there. Who cares?
Right.
And that's if you can consistently make throws like that, and that's the thing with him, it's not like it's every now and then. He's consistently accurate. He consistently can do it down the field. Watch Aaron Rodgers play, and I'm not trying to compare him to Aaron Rodgers with the rest of Rodgers' game. Rodgers is a machine. I get that. But watch Rodgers' footwork. It is terrible a lot of the time, but it just doesn't matter. And Mahomes has, while he doesn't have the rest of Rodgers' game, now, you know, that's the dream, right?
Right.
But he has that same arm talent. He has more arm talent than any quarterback to come out of the draft in years, except maybe Derek Carr. His arm talent is ridiculous. So the footwork thing, people watch the throw, and then watch a few games. Don't just watch a couple highlights and say, oh, well, he can't keep doing that. Yes, he can, because he does. So that's the first one. The second one is this idea that because he came from an air raid offense, he doesn't know how to read defenses. There are two articles people should really take a look at. They can read mine if they want. He can go through progressions really, really well post-snap. He really calmly surveys the field, left to right, the whole field. He does it better than a lot of pro quarterbacks I watch. That's one thing. The two articles that I'm talking about is an MMQB article where I think it was Peter King, that might have been one of his underlings, I don't know, did an interview with Mahomes and walked through some of the verbiage that they used, some of the complicated play calls that they had. And he had a lot more responsibility and a lot more complicated play calls than people think. So read that, and then read Doug Farrar with Bleacher Report did an exceptional piece with him where they actually broke down the film on, I think it was 5 or 6 plays, and he talked to him about his responsibilities at the line of scrimmage pre-snap. And Mahomes demonstrated repeatedly, there was a touchdown throw. He said, okay, well, what did you see your pre-snap? He said, well, actually, the play call was supposed to be this, but the receiver ran the wrong route, and so instead I had to switch over to – and he started just explaining – well, I knew that they were running too deep, and so I knew that the corner was probably – he started just discussing what he saw pre-snap and why he changed a receiver's route pre-snap. This idea that he doesn't know what he's doing with football is just wrong. It's completely wrong.
I think some of the verbiage we're attaching to him, making him a gunslinger, is giving him the raw end of the deal as far as what we expect from him mentally. And that's also something that Reed and Dorsey have talked about. Talking about how much he knows football
And that is so encouraging to me. So with all of that in mind, what do you think the process of Patrick Mahomes picking up Andy Reid's offense is going to look like?
I think it's going to look like it's going to be harder than probably anything any of us have ever done. I think it's going to be really tough. I mean, they have so many different passing plays, and there's so many different options for each one. And fans don't see a lot of that because they just see, wow, it was just this one read play that Alex Smith threw. But at the end of the day, that was probably chosen from any of, like, you know, a dozen options pre-snap. So he's going to have to learn to pick up all these plays and know them by heart and know the timing and know how to match up his footwork to that. It's going to be tough. So it's going to be a process, and a lot of it just depends, you know, once you get that guy in the door. I mean, I guess they interviewed him for like 6 hours to see if he could take whatever they threw at him.
Yeah.
And he did a great job, clearly, because they were willing to trade up to get him. But it's just impossible to say until he starts doing it. And so I'm cautiously optimistic that he will pick up on the mental side quicker than people are thinking, because seeing him interview, hearing him talk football, reading those articles where he's talking actual tape, he seems like a guy who gets it upstairs. And just, again, remember, Andy Reid was locked in a room with this dude for 6 hours. Andy Reid was locked in a room with this dude for 6 hours and came out impressed with his football acumen. How many of us could say the same if Andy Reid was locked in a room with us for 6 hours? He'd walk out of a room with me thinking, that guy has no idea what he's talking about.
Can you listen to that and not be excited and encouraged about Patrick Mahomes, honestly? Again, the idea of, and I mentioned this earlier, the idea of having your quarterback prospects, all of them, locked in a room with Andy Reid for 6 hours, and he left that meeting saying, this guy has the best chance to grasp what we do here. And everybody has said that this is the guy that has the best physical tools. No one's really challenging that. The only thing that I think was would have been a real question is, what's the guy that has the best playing style for Andy Reid? I was starting to think that Deshaun Watson was a very realistic option, because I think generally Andy Reid would rather be conservative with have a conservative quarterback than a risk taker and then a gunslinger. Because that's putting more of the responsibility on Andy Reid's scheme. If you have Alex Smith or cheap Alex Smith and Deshaun Watson, you rely on your scheme, on your offense, on your play calling to do the work for you. And I think Andy Reid's very comfortable with that. I think Andy Reid's very comfortable being the guy where ultimately the responsibility falls to on offense. With this Mahomes pick, I think he showed that not only does he trust Mahomes to be able to work in the confines of the offense in the way that he wants him to, he's also signing up for the improvisation that Mahomes will do, for the gunslinger mentality that Mahomes will bring to this offense. And it's a little bit scary for Reid, I'm sure. I'm sure it makes him a little bit uncomfortable. But also, to trade up from 27 to 10, they've got to be pretty comfortable in a way also. I don't know how you can leave that conversation and not be excited about Patrick Mahomes. 913-3810-810 is the phone number. Whenever we come back, Pope Talk. Maybe not. This is Sports Saturday. Sunday.
This is Sports Sunday.
When I talked about the Chiefs and Colin Kaepernick, you guys loved it!
With Joshua Briscoe.
No way! Smith is doing just fine. Give him some weapons to throw to. That one was actually the most offensive one to me.
On Sports Radio 810.
And my own personal favorite, consider sticking your head in an oven.
WHB.
Charlie, how many Twitter followers do you have? Your personal Twitter account?
More than you. 1,007.
Don't make me look this up. You don't know. You don't know how many followers you have? Are you even in 2017 with the rest of us? You have 435 followers.
It's true.
You're also following 750 people.
Yeah, you criticized me for that last week.
That ratio is just so far off.
I just don't really care.
I just think it's weird that you're being a jerk about not retweeting any of my stuff, and you should be just as desperate as I am. You should be twice as desperate as I am. You're halfway behind. You have less than 50% of my total followers.
I think you're just salty that Arrowhead Pride retweeted me earlier today.
That was very odd. That happened earlier. Charlie retweeted an Arrowhead Pride tweet, quote tweeted it, and said, like, yeah, man, the draft was fun to watch.
I said this is easily the most aggressive the Chiefs have ever been in the draft, which is true, and that it was fun to watch.
What
and
a spicy take.
They apparently liked it. I wasn't even really trying to be that hot takey.
There was just nothing means. There. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, but they liked it, and the people wanted it, so they gave
the
it
people,
to them.
Oh, my God. This is why I can't live if you start getting any form of success in your life in any way whatsoever. You'll be insufferable about it.
No, just to you.
That's fine. That's 20, all I care about.
20 years later, just, you know, text you, be like, ha ha.
Somehow you will have whatever. I don't even know what I want to do with my life, but you will have whatever it is. And I'll be here pushing buttons, running NBC manually, which I'm going to be doing later today.
Still asking me to retweet you.
Being like, Mr. Carlin, do you remember me? Could you please retweet one of my tweets using a relevant hashtag? Hashtag there's nothing more sexier than. People can't possibly know about some of the really weird things that are just normal here. Like, and it's part of it's just like, I think like radio industry stuff, and part of it like specific to 810, I'm sure. But like, just like how national programming gets chosen to run, and like the entire, we have like this giant board, which makes sense, but we have an ability to put like ESPN into automation, so ESPN will automatically play and the commercials will automatically play like overnight and stuff. That's why we don't have somebody running the board all night long, but like we can't do that with NBC for some reason. And our commercial system, it runs on a computer from, I don't know, 1812. When was the printing press? 1492, when the printing press sailed the ocean, too. There's so many weird little things that I feel like some people would love to, like, just know. And that most people would have absolutely no bleeping interest in. Arrowhead Pride had an interesting article that came out last night about winners and losers from the draft for the Chiefs. I'm not doing draft grade stuff, but they talked about things. This is again kind of looking a little bit at the roster makeup as it currently stands, and what we learned from the draft about the rest of the roster. And winners were Chiefs fans and Derek Johnson. The one thing that Patrick Mahomes being drafted means, we talked about yesterday, and I haven't talked about yet today, I guess, is that I think this means that Andy Reid and John Dorsey intend on being here for a little while. Their contract situations are a little bit up in the air. Not that their jobs are in danger. We think that their contracts are coming to an end soon. And there were the rumors over the offseason about John Dorsey going back to the Packers, and rumors about Andy Reid being in his swan song, singing his swan song. Do you sing a swan song? Charlie, can you look up the origins of the term swan song, please? Because like, I'm sure it has something to do with a bird making a noise, but why is a swan song your last song? What does any of that have to do with anything? That can be next hour's Sports Sunday Science segment starring Charlie Charlin, even though it's just more like lame linguistics with Larly Larlin. Or something. The other thing here that Arrowhead Pride pointed out in their winners losers article is the Chiefs offense is a winner here because they not only drafted a quarterback, a wide receiver, and a running back, not in that order, quarterback, running back, receiver, in that order, but they were trading up for all of those guys. And I don't have the most high expectations for what are you doing, Charlie? Oh, I thought Charlie was coming in with information. He was actually just flipping me off with two fingers. Thank you, Charlie. I don't have incredible expectations for Mahomes this year or for the receiver whose first name continually stumps me because I just don't want to say it wrong. Jehu. I don't have incredibly high expectations, but the Chiefs at least acknowledge that that was the problem. That was the biggest problem of what happened last year. In fact, before the draft, Adam Teicher was, I think for ESPN, asked to do some, like, you know, quote unquote bold predictions. And he predicted it to be a predominantly defensive draft, and it was 3 for 3. There were 3 offensive players taken and 3 defensive players taken, but obviously a little bit offense heavy. And that's encouraging because I think, again, for when we're talking about Andy Reid in the system, Andy Reid's system, his trust in himself, I think Andy Reid can be a little bit prone to saying, you know what, we don't need to address these deficiencies because I can cover up those deficiencies. Bob Sutton is also great at that. Reid and Sutton both cover up for deficiencies very, very well. But I don't like seeing that become a reason, a piece of logic for why you wouldn't invest in a quarterback long term, or you wouldn't spend a third round pick on a running back, or you wouldn't take a shot on a receiver from Michigan. So all of that is also encouraging to me here. I feel like this was a big draft for Andy Reid because he's got his future guy. He's got guys to help the team now. He's indicating that he's going to be here for the foreseeable future. I know that it doesn't help a ton this year, but you've got to be excited about the direction the Chiefs are headed.